and welcome to the Full Force Newsburst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com with me as your host, Chris Plastic Crack McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me on today's burst to discuss the amazing upcoming documentary, Plastic Crack, is director Guillermo Olivo. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this newsburst. You may have heard of an upcoming documentary called Plastic Crack, a series that talks to the creators of the most popular toy lines ever made and follows some of the world's most influential toy collectors as they search for the true meaning of what many would call an addiction. We have managed to wrangle the director Guillermo Olivo onto the show tonight to talk about Plastic Crack and what we should expect to see once it comes out. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Guillermo.
No, thank you, Chris, for having me.
Not a problem. I mean, could you give us some background on yourself and how you found yourself in this line of work first, please?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time. My company, which is not just mine, I have two partners. We've been developing content for television networks if we combine our experience for over 20 years here in the U.S.
Wow.
We used to work for these major broadcasters, and eventually we became independent, and now our former employers are our biggest clients. It turned out really well. But about 3 years ago, we started expanding into the documentary area, even though that we've been involved indirectly or directly in that world.
Yeah.
Started creating our own documentaries, and we've been doing some joint ventures with some big names out there in that sense, but I'm a collector as well. So it was just a matter of time for me to get to the conclusion that I needed to tell a story. I just didn't find the muse, and I was at the G.I. Joe convention, and I was listening to a panel of Kirk Bazygin, which
fantastic.
I know that you know, and your audience is pretty aware of who he is. So he was telling the story, the behind the scenes story of the USS flag, you know, the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And I never had one as a kid, and I happened to have a friend down the road who happens to have one, and he became immediately the luckiest kid on the block. So Kirk was saying that they were inspecting, they actually did just a small percentage of a profit out of that vehicle. That was one of the most expensive vehicles on the line back then in the 80s. And he was saying, you know, the tooling of the vehicle was something never heard of, and based on his opinion, something that will never happen again. So I was one of the ones that raised a hand and asked, so was the reasoning behind this, you know, spending so much money and such an expensive toy and not making profit out of it? And the answer was brilliant. And that's what I said, you know. Right there on the panel, on the floor, sitting among everyone, I said, I need to tell the story.
Yeah.
I need to connect the behind the scenes of the creation of the line, not just G.I. Joe. We're exploring many lines, but and how does that resonate to us now grown-ups, but back then kids, being exposed to this marketing strategies and at the same time creating amazing memories? Because when I sat down with him, with Kirk Bazygin, to interview him for the documentary, I kind of wore that hat, like, you know, collect them all. And each figure sold separately. And he was defending his camp graciously, but at the same time, he told me, like, hey, you guys can't complain. You guys grew up playing with G.I. Joe.
Yeah, Kirk's fantastic. Like, again, the panel he did with Carson at the last JoeCon, which I actually met you at, Guillermo, which was such a surprise bumping into you, and you're kind of like, you've been sharing my documentary. And I was like, yes, I have. So yeah, that's the reason we're talking right now, effectively.
Absolutely, absolutely. I went as a fan. I was not into business, but it just, I saw you. There's a lot of people that I don't know that they've been supporting this project from the get-go, and I believe that somehow it resonates with them. And the least that I can do was just approach you and say, because you didn't know me back then,
no,
but I knew you based on your based on your post and everything, and it was just an honest, from the heart, thank you for supporting us.
Totally appreciate that, man, honestly. And of course, like, I would, because it's, you know, it's amazing content. And from the trailer, that, you know, from the little snippets you've been putting online, I mean, the actual documentary looks really fun, really interesting. Now, it's a series, am I right? So it's going to be multiple episodes, is that correct?
That is correct. We started following one a huge G.I. Joe collector. Let me trace back quickly. I haven't been searching for who has the most or the biggest player in this world, because that's really not what we're looking for.
Sure.
So, but at the same time, we have some major influential collectors among the toy community, and one of them happens to be Irvin Santiago. He has a mind-blowing G.I. Joe collection. He's been a vendor at the Joe Cons forever. And everything started when Hurricane Irma was threatening the coast. And the area that he lives was declared mandatory evacuation zone. So I call him up. I was heading to Georgia. I call him up to check on him, and he told me, like, hey, you know, I'm not leaving.
Wow.
And so when I asked him, why are you leaving? He told me he's not leaving his collectibles.
Aww.
Crazy enough, I told him, like, you know what? I think I'm going to go pass by with a crew and film you saying that. And that was a catalyst to begin this journey. So we started following him. The idea originally was to create a documentary on toy collecting, that long format, 120 minutes. But then I was introduced to another who happens to collect G.I. Joe as well, among many other lines, Justice Curry. He lives in Michigan. Went to Michigan, and we didn't just tape him or follow him, but everyone around his community. Michigan happens to have a wonderful toy community.
Yeah.
And obviously we had so much that my general producer, Karina Rosendo, she told me, like, you know, it will be a shame to scratch all of this amazing footage and just shrink everything into 120. So we decided to make it a series. And from 120 minutes, it became 12 episodes.
Wow, that's awesome. How is it going to be streaming, by the way? Oh, I'm sorry, how's it going to be broadcast, I should say? Is it going to be kind of streaming or network kind of scenario?
It's going to be streaming. It's not going to be open network. Regrettably, at this point, I still haven't got the green light to disclose the outlet. We're dealing with some technicalities and some legal paperwork and stuff like that. But mostly here, and I'm just going to say this publicly for the first time,
all right,
the closed captioning is taking forever because they need to. That's something that we don't do. It's something that happens on the West Coast on a different company.
Sure.
And they do, it's for the hearing impaired, and they do descriptions. And sometimes, obviously, since you kind of have to know about this, they send revisions. They send clips for revisions, and I go, no, that's not a Snake Eyes. That's a Storm Shadow.
Oh, I see.
On the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, we have multiple languages. So it took more than we expected. At the same time, and I keep getting reminders from my team, this is usual, this type of length in post-world is usual. And they're right. I mean, it happens that I'm very fond of this project, that I'm also very anxious to see it out.
I'm actually quite interested in the process, being an editor myself and, you know, doing the podcast and doing YouTube reviews and all that kind of stuff. I'm very interested in how you guys go about the kind of process. Is it like you have a certain amount of time to do the filming, and then it goes into the next phase with editing and so on and so forth? Is it like that, or is it kind of everything happening at once, and then you're like, well, we need to get some more footage and so on? And so, are you kind of back and forth with it?
No, there's people that does that. The way that we do it, we establish a archetype of the story where they will want to go, and then Michigan happened, like I said, and so we created a underline within that archetype following Justice, and we started fishing for specific interviews with a specific content that we can connect the two storylines. And it did have some improvements, if I have to label it in a way. For example, and we were talking about this off the mic, there were some improvements, like we started registering foreign collectors, and by foreign collectors, I mean people that collect Action Force or Action Man or Estrella figures, and it was very interesting. So I decided halfway through we need to listen as well to the other side of the road. So we went to Brazil and we did interviews in Argentina, and we wanted to hear what they think. And that back and forth in editing comes graciously, because you have the American side telling you what they think, and now you have part of it. Regrettably, I didn't have enough budget to go all over the world, but that was a curveball that I threw to my team halfway through. I established from the get-go that we needed very specific lines. I didn't want it to be an odd to G.I. Joe only or Star Wars. So we started fishing for a specific collectors, and we were very, very lucky, because we got in touch with amazing collectors that were just happy to open their doors and let us commandeer their houses and do the interviews and then show their collections. And there's a bunch of them. And I understand, I have a few even personal friends of mine that they don't want to do that for security reasons. And, and I completely respect that. But the ones that we got on camera, they were very open, and they were like, I want to show.
That's fantastic. If this is like really, really successful, which I could see it being, I mean, it's something that I know a lot of collectors, myself included, will really want to, you know, enjoy and see. Are there talks to kind of, you know, do more of these kind of series? I know that's kind of like a pretty stupid question in a way, because obviously it is really successful. I'm sure you'd want to do more, and I'm sure it would kind of benefit you guys to do so. But I mean, has that been in the talks about that? Have you guys been planning anything around those kind of lines?
No, because the way that it works, and I need to switch hats, and I need to remove the heart from the chest and put it on the table there. the way that it usually works, and this applies to my daily life and everything else that we do within the company, it all relies on ratings. In this case, since this is a streaming and it's not open network, it will heavily rely on public's acceptance and views, I guess. As of now, I'm not there. But if it happens, I already have a big roster of people that are willingly sending messages to the page saying, "Hey, I want to be in. I want to show my thing." I strongly believe, now going back with the heart in the chest, that it's going to resonate. Yeah. We're portraying this conduct in a positive light. We're portraying that we're trying to kill misconceptions among the hobby, and there's a bunch of them up there. And I'm a firm believer that knowledge, educating, is always an improvement of any type of subjects or conversation. So I don't see why it won't resonate with, regardless of what you collect, you're probably going to enjoy the Star Wars part of it, or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles part of it, even though that might not be your thing.
It will.
That's great. But, you know, it will resonate, because we've been fishing for what's behind it, what triggers this conduct. And obviously, by walking into that camp, the whole thing becomes passionate. Yeah. And if there's one common denominator among every single collector is passion.
Yeah.
This is an avid base on passion and love for toys. And yes, it is not an ode to G.I. Joe or Star Wars of any specific line, but it happens to be an ode to the passion of collecting.
I can't wait. It sounds amazing. A couple of other things I wanted to run by you. Obviously, for our kind of like the listeners and viewers that are not kind of aware of the Plastic Crack, so sure. the toys that made us came out recently, and they've just had their mm-hmm. second series and everything. I hate to kind of mention other kind of competition and stuff, but your particular documentary series does differ in that you're focusing on the collectors kind of first and foremost, right? That was something that we kind of spoke about on the dealer floor.
Correct. And I don't see, I publicly always say that I happen to love what they did yeah. with the toys that made us. That the first season came up when we were halfway through filming
right.
and I got the trailer and I honestly freaked out because I can't compete with Netflix. But at the same time, when it got out, I was so relieved and I was so happy that they went that route, because we're not, even though that we have Ron Ruda, we have Kirk Wazigian, we have Bob Krupis, among many other personalities that were involved wow. in the creation of the storyline, we're not aiming for the story of the lines.
Yeah.
We're aiming for the other end, the receiver end of what happened after they created that line.
Yeah.
So I don't see them as competition. I see that we are maybe, hopefully, complement what they have out there.
Yeah, and I think from the kind of collector's perspective, that's something that's even more, that, you know, it resonates with other collectors. They're going to want to see that. They're going to relate to it, and I think that's only a positive thing, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned obviously the kind of the foreign aspect too, and that's really interesting to me, obviously being from the UK. The Action Force angle, again, a lot of listeners for us are kind of Action Force fans. They have to be. or we don't allow them to listen. I'm kidding.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Action Force is an amazing line. I got into that not so long ago, and it's just amazing. And I happen to be, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
Not at all.
I happen to, my main line happens to be Star Wars, but
awesome.
Right there, right next to it comes the Joes, because when Star Wars went down after Return of the Jedi, yeah. I still needed that fix,
yeah.
and I still needed that fix on 3¾, and the Joes came in, and it was the natural supplement to that Plastic Crack
yeah.
addiction craving that I had back then, and I still have. And just a few years ago, and that was, I have to blame Irving on that.
Yeah.
I started to get into the foreign world.
Amazing.
And I happened to start with the Action Force. Actually, at the JoeCon, the day that I met you,
yeah.
I got the SAS Panther.
Nice.
And I love
it. I wish my camera's on, because my Panther's out as well somewhere. I was going to flash it around for you, but no, we'll... it's a beautiful vehicle, isn't it? I mean, effectively the Vamp, but it's a beautiful vehicle. I love that color.
But I made the I named Star Wars because what I liked, what I really liked, and I know there's a lot of collectors out there that they don't act that's actually, it works the other way, but in my end, the articulation of the Action Force resonates a lot to that Star Wars ground base.
Yeah.
So I see them as Joes that almost looks like Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really, really like them. And I'm really heavy into that nowadays.
I love the Palitoy era. Like, it's always going to be quite close to my heart. But I was kind of like really kind of playing with the toys, like more kind of like mid 80s, so we'd kind of almost got to the end of the Palitoy run, and all of the Palitoy stuff I had as a kid was hand-me-downs, so it was all like, you know, stuff from like the next door neighbor that came in a big box, and it was like, and I was blown away because there was Q-Force in there and Space Force.
Wow.
and it was nice. I mean, there was a lot of, like, you know, it was basically all in bits, so I had to kind of piece this all together with no real knowledge of what I was doing as a child.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was amazing. But obviously my era then runs into the Hasbro kind of, you know, Action Force arena, which I suppose is kind of very similar to what happened in the South American countries when Hasbro started
Correct.
giving, you know, all of those countries the molds and all that kind of stuff and the license to sell. So that must have been really interesting going around South America and getting all those viewpoints from people that, you know, effectively got different characters as well. Same kind of thing with the UK, right?
Definitely. And the aspect that hit me the most was I remember having Ruby Blast, and yeah. I remember the Venezuelan versions of G.I. Joe, but they were cheap. The plastic yeah. was different. It didn't feel as good as the American ones. I also had Americans, but the difference was outrageous. The American Joe was $8, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
A Ruby Blast was $2.
Wow.
If we were trashing them up, of course, the collateral damage, the designated target was always a Venezuelan one. And now finding out that now American collectors are paying a crazy amount of money for these toys, it just blows my mind.
It's amazing.
Because it was the other way around when I live abroad. So, yeah, going out there and noticing, for example, the Brazilian community, which was an amazing community to tape, they have their perspective is mind-blowing because they didn't find out about the American G.I. Joes until very late into the game.
Yeah.
The cartoon was not broadcast there at the same time as here in America, so they thought that Estrella was Comandos en Asao, G.I. Joe. And eventually they found out that, no, you know what, this is a Brazilian ripoff or licensee, of course, of the American version. And getting the Americans over there was crazy. And the Estrella, I'm pretty sure you know, but they go for crazy prices. And at the very beginning of that discovery, they were trading online a 25th anniversary of G.I. Joe's for Estrella figures because they were like, you know, yeah, we have a bunch somewhere in a box down there, but I can't get my hands on those 25th anniversary. And so just being the conduct of these communities interacting and telling the stories has been a blast.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I find it really fascinating. We've got a co-presenter on the show called Patrick Stewart, and he also does Joe Declassified, and what those guys do is they've done panels at JoeCon in the past, but they basically dig up all of this, like, you know, forgotten history, or just they're basically like detectives effectively. And I mean, they did one show recently at Assembly Required, one panel, and it was all of the different variations across all of the different countries in the world, and
it was there.
Brilliant! So, and again, having the Estrella, the Rubiplast, the Plastorama, the Palatoy, you know, in Australia as well, like all of the different styles and the different, and you put all the figures, the same figure next to each other, and Fun School as well, and the difference is dramatic. I just love that kind of stuff. I think it's fantastic.
I agree. It's mind blowing. And again, going back to the misconceptions, if there's people out there that thinks that we are crazy because we collect G.I. Joes, wait until they find out that there's a myriad of variations all over the world, and collectors are also getting into that.
Yeah.
Going back to my team, my director of photography collects pops.
But
he happens to be the only one among the crew that collects anything at all.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey as well for them. It's also been an extremely helpful tool on my end to keep me grounded, because I'm obviously biased on this subject.
Yeah.
But there's I'm going to take the opportunity and mention that here, Collectible Spectacle, with the series that Chad did so many years ago, and you know, the cover of Mark Bellomo and Eric Devlin.
Yeah.
I literally forced my whole team to watch every single one of those episodes. I'm on other toy documentaries that are out there. And out of everything that is portrayed in those clips, the fact that Eric Devlin had so many variants from so many different countries set the idea in motion.
Yeah.
And I believe I might be wrong. I mean, Patrick, if he's involved with the declassified, I'm pretty sure, because they're like curators of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he knows this better than I do. But I believe that she was the one that coined those foreign figures here in the U.S. And the whole thing started back then due to that.
Yeah.
Those are the type of stories that I kind of wanted to package. A personal story, if you will.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm the more I talk to you about this, the more I want this documentary to happen now.
thank you. Oh, me too, man. Me too. And we're close. We're just dealing with technicalities that this happened. This is normal. It's not like we're facing delays or waiting for some executive to sign off. It's just the last pieces of curating the final product in order to get it out.
Yeah.
But I'm as anxious as everybody is, trust me.
Coming back to your team, you mentioned your director of photography there. I mean, how big is the team involved in this particular series?
In this series, there's, if I'm not mistaken, there's probably over 40 people involved.
Wow.
Like I said, we tape abroad and we have teams abroad, and then we traveled the country, not just Florida and Michigan. We went all the way to Seattle, and we went to Rhode Island and Pawtucket, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's people that took care of the travel arrangement, and just the production side, it was massive. I was trying to keep it budget friendly, so on the road, it was only three of us most of the time. Sure. Sometimes four, and in the few cases, the production team went along where there were collectors 4 or 5 hours away. Then we drove, we didn't fly. But after finishing everything, then you need to account the legal side of it.
Sure.
And then you count, and then post-production is another big aspect. There's being three editors involved. I edited some pieces myself, then the colorist, then my friend who mixed the audio, and then
animators, things like that. Do you need those for like kind of titles and things like that?
Well, yeah, you're going to get an exclusive because no one knows this, but we're going to have a lot of stop motion.
Awesome.
Recreating some of the scenes, because when you travel back in time and you go, when I was 7 years old and I used to walk into this Toys R Us,
amazing.
Of course I was 3 feet tall and whatnot. There's no way to portray that differently because you don't have that footage. So the idea came up, and that was that. I wasn't even the one that came up with the idea. One of my crew said, you know, why don't we do stop motion? And it worked. I'm so proud of the final outcome because obviously we're talking about toys. So it was just the smartest decision to take. Like, you know,
we're talking
about toys. Let's recreate this whole thing with toys. It's not the whole thing. It's just a part of it. But the artist who spearheaded there were five people involved, but the artist who spearheaded the entire stop motion process put his heart out. And I'm proud of the outcome. I'm proud of them. And I'm really, really happy with the final outcome.
That's amazing. I'm really looking forward to that now. And thank you for the exclusive reveal on our show. I appreciate that very much. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this now. Thank you so much for joining me to discuss the series, Guillermo. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Likewise.
Lastly, if you could just tell people how to follow you and the documentary beyond the show. I know you guys got a Facebook page and so on, right?
Yes. And let me look it up because Facebook is Plastic Crack Documentary.
Yeah.
And on Instagram, I'm sorry about that. Give me a second. It's Plastic Crack Film.
Okay, brilliant.
That's more people that we need to add to the list, the ones that are currently handling social media.
Awesome. I'll put the links in the video as well, so people can see, can just go straight through and click on there. So they'll be below the YouTube video, they'll be below the Facebook video. You'll have so many links, you won't know what to do with them.
I appreciate it.
Guillermo, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And considering I only met you for about 10 seconds at JoeCon, thank you so much for just jumping on and chatting with me. It's been great.
No, thank you. And let's close the chapter with that. One of the big tickets that we're exploring and I'm trying to enhance and I'm trying to show and I want the whole world to know is the wonders of this community. I mean, we don't know each other. We didn't grow up together. We didn't probably didn't grow up in the same country or city, but the glue that makes that relationship happens to be the toys. And there are so many stories of bullying and struggles and everything that finding someone that resonates with that same taste and same passion for toys within this community makes all of us stronger and makes all of us in a better shape to deal with daily shenanigans.
Absolutely. Well said. And thank you once again.
No, thank you.
And I'm sure we'll be able to. And if you don't mind, could we get you on again to talk about it once the show's on, or, you know, just to kind of promote it a bit more as well? Would that be okay?
Yeah. Well, once we can disclose that out, you betcha. I'll let you know.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Guillermo.
No, thank you, Chris.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Guillermo Olivo. See you next time. And as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.